looking for help on eliminating toxins from your life, having more beautiful and productive landscapes and gardens, and especially if you want to learn how to cut your water bill in half, you've come to the right place. It's Dirt Doctor Radio with your host, Howard Garrett.
Thank you, Logan, and welcome back, everybody. Telephone number to be with me is 866-444-3478. We've been talking a lot of in Howard's garden stuff related to drainage, and I hadn't gotten to the plant side of it yet, which we will do, and then we'll get right back to the phone. So jump on here. The plant issues are things that are fairly simple. I've talked to several contractors and landscape architects over the past months, actually, since we started having this crazy, dramatically heavy rain events. Now we've had three here in North Texas, and some of you around the rest of the country have had similar kind of things. The bottom line on that is that if you're using organic techniques and have healthy soil or relatively healthy soil, the damage to permanent plants is pretty much not there. The soil, biological activity in the soil, the drainage and all that can take care of things. It just works. There is resistance to stress of all kinds, including the stress of being saturated, you know, for a long period of time. When you're using synthetic fertilizers and don't have as healthy a soil, don't have the proper kind of tilth and all that, you're going to see more long-range damage to plants. And so the thing to do is to go organic. Physical aeration, starting it out, if you know that that's the case, and then starting to add the organic amendments to the soil that build the life in the soil. Compost, rock minerals, lava sand, green sand, granite, zeolite, azomite, things like that. And the sugars like dry molasses, just white sugar, any kind of old sugars. Dry molasses, liquid molasses, cornmeal, extremely important. We were talking on Bob Webster's show yesterday. I visit with him on his show down in San Antonio every Saturday morning. And we were talking about oak wilt. Oak wilt popped up because it's there's been some flare-ups and some real hot spots down there. And he, like I have seen all kinds of anecdotal evidence that not only can we prevent that kind of thing from happening with the organic program, the soil building techniques that we recommend, but we can cure and reverse plants that are symptomatic. And he was just telling me about one new project, not new, but one that he's been involved in just the last few years, where a large area in a ranch was symptomatic. The owner used real heavy amounts of cornmeal, just, you know, whole ground cornmeal, and some compost that came out of the bottom of barns that he happened to have. In other words, kind of the inexpensive poor man's version of the sick tree treatment. Actually, it's a pretty good way to go. Using your own soil that's developed in the bottom of barns and everything is an aged compost that's, you know, pretty good, especially for large areas, ranches and things like that. And using the tree trimmings, the shredded tree trimmings, and all that we talk about all the time on the land, is also one of the most important things you can do to not only prevent those kind of problems, but cure them. And will the rain have any effect? Well, in some cases, drought was leading to disease problems, oak wilt and various other kind of things. And so increasing the rain helps the sick tree treatment, helps the curing of unhealthy soil, which helps with the curing of the diseases, whether it's oak wilt or something else, and a good thing to do. But when you're having too much rain, doing the reverse is something you need to get things draining better, dried out and draining better. Again, the organic program is what helps you do that. So the only thing that all of the landscape guys and I that have been talking about this issue have had as a consistent problem that we've run into with rain from a plant standpoint is if your timing was such where you planted new plants just before one of these huge rain events happened, you lost a bunch of the new stuff. the new things really don't respond to it very well at all. That's the only thing I lost. I had planted one area new before the heavy event that we had in the spring happened. And part of that new planting was a bunch of Yaupon holly. And dwarf Yaupon holly is an evergreen shrub that we recommend a lot, and it's just about foolproof. Really tough plant for sun and can take some fairly heavy shade and all. And we planted several of them. They were nice big five-gallon plants just before that rain started. And when it ended, a few weeks later, they started dying, and every single one of those plants died. And so there's no question about it that that's what happened. And in talking to other landscape people, they said that was the same thing they experienced on new landscape projects where stuff had just been planted or had been in the ground a fairly short period of time. The heavy, heavy rain did some damage, but it did not hurt the stuff that was, healed, that was well established and growing and had been there for a while. So bottom line on that is just be lucky. You know, sometimes you have to go ahead and plant things, but it happens and you lose plants, to be honest with you. And I had some real serious conversations with a lot of people back in 1983 and 84, where people that had paid for new landscaping, in some cases very expensive, large landscape projects, lost a ton of plants when we had that incredibly long and deep freeze in the winter of 83-84. And it killed millions of dollars worth of plants, not only plant material in nurseries and in stock, but plants that had been newly planted. And in addition to that, plants had been in a long time. We lost live oak trees, you know, that's a native, tough native plant, because it was such a drop in temperature, and it stayed so cold for such a long period of time that it killed native plants in some cases. But again, across the board, and that was back before we were into organic, since we've been doing organic techniques and keeping soil healthy and root systems bigger and healthier and everything, damage from really cold winter freezing temperatures has been minimal. But that's the story on all that stuff. And if you have any other questions about what to do, fertilizing, continuing to fertilize with organic kinds of things on your property if you haven't done it for a long time, when we get into a period between the heavy rains, good thing to do, especially with the flowering plant. Like I mentioned, the pansies, the winter color that's flowering, doesn't hurt at all to fertilize and push the flowering along with the organic techniques. You're not going to set up a situation where freeze damage is more imminent from doing that. In fact, you're going to do just the opposite. You're going to have larger, healthier root systems, a lot more mycorrhizal fungus on the plants, and just more ability for the plants to get through it. On the other hand, I'd recommend that all of you go out and get some floating row cover from your nurseries, from your garden centers, and have this lightweight spun material sitting around and available to put over your young vegetables that are coming over, coming up, the new herbs, the new landscaping plants that are kind of small, and things in containers. Things in containers will be much more susceptible to cold weather and stress in general, and so putting the floating row cover over those kind of plants is a good idea. At our place, we've moved a lot of things from the garden, from Howard's garden, into the greenhouse. Thinking maybe we jumped the gun a little bit, but I don't think so now. We're already getting cool enough temperatures where those tropical plants really appreciate being in there. It gives you a little bit of a change you have to make in your management of how often to water less, by the way, and watching out for the heat working in the greenhouses, or having just the protection of a structure, not even having the greenhouse heated. That's what we do with a lot of the plants that we have. So anything related to that, give me a buzz and we will talk about it. We've got Regina on the line, been holding for a while. Let's see what she is up to in Dallas. Hi, Regina.
Good morning, Howard. How are you doing?
Doing well, thank you.
good. I posted on your, you know, Facebook there, the Howard Garrett one, Dirt Doctor, and also I sent you because a picture of my pods that grew from the jicama. I planted jicama seeds from a package, and on the package it said it takes a really long time for them to develop. Well, it was interesting that this long vine developed, so I put it up on a trellis, and it grew these pods, which I thought maybe those were seed pods that then I could harvest, you know, once they got dry. But the little tiny seeds in there, unless they weren't what I planted originally, I don't know. Anyways, well, now the rain came and the cold nights. And
well, you might have had a couple of things going on. Tell you what, can you hold on with me? I'm sorry you've had to hold so long, but let's not rush it, and we can talk when we come back. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, will be back for you right after this. Don't go away.
The future of holistic health is here. Possessing the power to maintain wellness at the cellular level, RegActive is a revolutionary and remarkable new supplement that will transform the future of preventative and restorative health. RegActive features the innovative probiotic strain ME3, a patented probiotic with over 20 years of research proven to naturally stimulate and produce glutathione, the body's master antioxidant. Glutathione is used by all of our cells, especially in the fight against free radicals, environmental toxins, and the effects of aging. Our levels of glutathione decrease dramatically as we age, leaving us very vulnerable to age-related health issues. Revolutionary, remarkable, RegActive. RegActive is from Essential Formulas, renowned for introducing Dr. O'Hara's probiotics to the United States 15 years ago. Look for RegActive at Vitamin Shop, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide where Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are sold.
XO Odor Neutralizer is the original all-natural odor eliminator air freshener. It's non-toxic, pH neutral, and no fragrances. If you want to get rid of big odors, but do it naturally and keep it safe for children and pets, then you've got to try XO Odor Neutralizer. XO has an exclusive offer just for Dirt Doctor listeners. An 8-ounce pump spray and a 16-ounce refill bottle for only $19.98 with free shipping. Go to exocorp.com/dirtdoctor or call 800-442-9696.
Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, here for Victor Pet Foods. In addition to the grain-free choices, all the great Victor products are wheat, corn, soy, and gluten-free and are naturally preserved with no toxins, fake flavors, or colors. Victor's loaded with vitamins, minerals, enzymes, probiotics, prebiotics, and other healthy ingredients. My dogs, Carmen and Tater, love Victor. Your dogs and cats will too. Ask for Victor at your favorite pet or feed store or go to victordogfood.com. That's victordogfood.com.
Roses are our best medicinal and culinary herbs. They should be grown organically because when roses are loaded with toxic pesticides and other chemicals, the natural benefits of roses are squandered. Rosehip tea or using rose petals in teas or salads is a good idea if the plants haven't been sprayed with synthetic poisons. For the best results with roses, plant well-adapted roses for your area. Roses on their own roots are often the best choices. Planting, watering, and feeding instructions for roses can be found on the homepage of DirtDoctor.com. Click on Organic Guides and look for the Organic Rose Program. For disease control in general, spray roses with Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash or garlic pepper tea. For insect pests, spray essential oil products, Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash. Dust if necessary with natural diatomaceous earth. For thrips, apply beneficial nematodes to the soil in early spring or when foliage begins to grow. To learn more about growing roses the natural way, go to DirtDoctor.com.
Here are some myths and truths about healthy eating. Myth: vitamin B12 can be obtained from certain plant sources such as blue-green algae and soy products. Truth: vitamin B12 is not absorbed from plant sources. Modern soy products increase the body's need for B12. Myth: animal fats cause cancer and heart disease. Truth: animal fats contain many nutrients that protect against cancer and heart disease. Elevated rates of cancer and heart disease are associated with consumption of large amounts of processed vegetable oils. Myth: children benefit from a low-fat diet. Truth: children on low-fat diets suffer from growth problems, failure to thrive, and learning disabilities. Visit HowardGarrett.com for more information on living a healthier lifestyle and for finding great natural organic products.
I'm always working to find new and better organic products. One of the companies that helps me in that regard is the Medina Corporation in Hondo, Texas. They've been helping farmers, ranchers, landscapers, and homeowners with quality soil building longer than anybody in the business. Medina produces fertilizers and soil amendments, both in liquid and dry formulations that work by stimulating the soil biology to help all crops. Whether growing landscape plants, herbs, vegetables, grasses, or trees, Medina has the products to help you budget wisely, effectively increase production, and treat the environment right. There's a new prilled organic fertilizer called Growing Green Premium Lawn Food that I recommend you try. The commercial version of Garrett Juice Plus is also made by Medina, and it's available in all sizes, quarts, gallons, barrels, and even large totes. Remember to ask for Medina. The website's medinaag.com. You'll find the Medina label at all hardware, nursery, and feed stores that sell organic products.
Compost is nature's own living fertilizer and can be made at home or purchased ready to use. It can be started any time of the year in sun or shade, and anything once living, plant or animal, can and should go into the compost. The ingredients in your compost should be a mix of coarse and fine textured material to promote air circulation through the pile. Turn the pile as time allows to speed up the process. However, turning is not critical. Moisture is important. A compost pile should be roughly as wet as a squeezed out sponge to help the living organisms thrive and work their magic. Compost is ready to use as a soil amendment when the ingredients are no longer identifiable. The color is a dark brown, the texture is soft and crumbly, and the smell is pleasant like the forest floor. Rough, unfinished compost can be used as top dressing mulch around all plantings. Finished compost is used in potting soil and bed preparation. You can learn more about composting and natural organic gardening at dirtdoctor.com.
All righty, Howard, back with you. And we were talking with Regina about, before that break, about jicama, one of my favorite foods, as a matter of fact. And hopefully she's still there. Regina, you still there?
Yes, sir.
It's jicama is an interesting thing, and it is a vine. Mine, when I the first time I ever grew it, I had it in a cage, like a tomato cage, and it grew in it and turned into a big bushy kind of thing. But it is basically a vine, and yes, it does have flowers. The flowers are full of seed, and that's what you grow the plant from originally, if it is the plant. Now, it sounds like you possibly had something else growing there with yours. Are the leaves real big and wide, or are they kind of star shaped?
They were big and wide, kind of like a grape leaf almost.
Okay, that's jicama probably.
It's jicama, and they had these seed pods. I sent you a picture on your private message and also on your Facebook page, Howard Garrett. And I didn't disrupt them. I just kept hoping there, because it looked like the pod was developing a big seed in there, kind of like a bean. But then I just opened one the other day after all this rain and cold, and it's like nothing's in there. It's like empty. And I didn't open all of them. But now I didn't have time. I said, okay, I'm going to wait until Monday. Well, now I'm listening to you saying that the plant, the vine, is poisonous. Mm-hmm. And that concerned me a lot. Because, you know, I have children in the garden sometimes, and can I compost it, or should I throw it away?
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, when you compost a plant, it neutralizes any of the toxic material that's in it. You know, you can compost poison ivy or anything that you want, oleander, all that's fine to compost, and when it's mixed with other things, the neutralizing that you get, the buffering that you get, is pretty much complete with, you know, just halfway decent composting. But, yeah, the top of the plant is every bit of it. The seed and the pods and the foliage are toxic. I don't know that they'd kill you, but they wouldn't be any good, you know, to eat. It's just something you need to know. It's virtually impossible to get rid of all the toxic materials from your yard. Daffodils are toxic. Oak leaves are toxic. I mean, a lot of things that we use all the time are, you just don't eat them. You know, things are much more toxic than others. But your jicama management, sounds like you need to know a little bit more about.
I do.
Jicama is extremely slow growing, like you've experienced. And for the next time, for the best production, you probably will have some production this time, but for next time, for more production, you start the seed in the greenhouse, you know, for 4 to 6 weeks before it's going to be warm enough to set the plant outside. You need at least 6 months, and for really good production, you need something more like 7 to 9 months of growth for those great big old tubers to form in the soil and give you some, you know, real good quantity of food. And so you start them in the greenhouse just like you would start tomato plants or anything else. Keep them warm, keep plenty of sunlight. Set them out when it's no chance of frost. They would be damaged easily by cold weather.
Okay.
And then most of the people recommend, I didn't do it, and I didn't have huge production, so it might be good advice to pick the flowers off and not let the seed pods form and let all the energy go into the roots of the plant. That's how you're going to get that big, the biggest tubers possible down there.
Okay. Well, let me tell you what I did, because I had a package of them, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I put some over where I put the pitcher, where I put the trellis, and I trellised it up, and that side, it made pods. But there's no visible digging on the top of the dirt like you look for potatoes, you know? I can't see anything bumping up, but of course I haven't dug down yet. I'll do that on Monday. In another area, I didn't trellis it up, and I can see tubers under the dirt, you know? No seed pods had formed on those guys. I didn't take them off. They just didn't. And I just let the vine twirl around and lay on the ground, you know? And,
well, that's fine. Some people do that. It's just it'll take up more space that way. And it shouldn't be any problem at all of keeping production down for you to have the have it trellising up. So either way you want to go, it's just a matter of space for that. I've got some shots of some really big ones. And I'm not sure I have them on the website yet. I think I took the pictures back when I was still using slides, and I need to probably dig those out and put them on the website. When you do a quick search for jicama, it shows you the tuber mostly and not the plant so much on the internet. So people need to be able to see it. It is in my book. The Texas Organic Gardening book, we do have a picture of a big one in there. And maybe I've got that same picture on the website. If I don't, at the worst, I'll take a picture of my picture in my book and put it on the website. I've actually done that a few times because I couldn't find my original slide, and I had to go kind of take a picture or something out of one of my books to use.
Now harvesting it, because I'll do that on Monday, and I'll send you a picture. But I have trouble. Like, people pull potatoes, but I seem to cut my potatoes, because I don't understand exactly how to shovel down and get my dirt loosened, you know? Cool. I guess that sounds probably dumb to you, but I...
No, not at all. What you need to get, Regina, is what's called a turning fork. And it's a tool that's sold at any hardware store, garden center, whatever. And it looks like a pitchfork, but it has more straight tines, and they're thicker. And then you can stab them in the ground and turn the soil. It's a tool that people use to till and stir the soil when they're making new bed preparation when they don't use a tiller. And you need to go out a little farther than you might think you need to go first, turn that, then go in a little closer and turn that. And at some point, the tines are going to hit the tuber instead of stabbing through the tuber and be turned up as you loosen the soil. And you'll be able to pull them up. Just like a sweet potato, or just like an Irish potato, if any of the tubers are showing cover with soil, that's a good thing to do. I got to run. Let me put you on hold if you had something else. I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, and you can call me at 866-444-3478.
The Texas Organic Research Center is a nonprofit research institute focused on the effectiveness of natural organic gardening, landscape management, and agribusiness. TORC's programs works better, saves money, and helps us to enjoy healthier lives. We need your support. Go to TexasOrganicResearchCenter.org to donate. Stop the broad-scale use of toxic chemical pesticides and fertilizers. Donate at TexasOrganicResearchCenter.org today. That's TexasOrganicResearchCenter.org. Again, TexasOrganicResearchCenter.org.
Learn to live more natural and organic and be healthier by learning from and purchasing one of Howard Garrett's best-selling books. His natural, organic programs and pest solutions work better in every way and can save you money. You can learn about growing beautiful landscaping, delicious, healthy food crops, pet management, and healthy living. Howard's books are useful coast to coast and border to border. You can learn about the books on DirtDoctor.com and find them in your favorite bookstore.
To begin your natural organic program and get your lawn and garden off drugs, just follow Mother Nature's guide. First, stop hurting the life in the soil. Choose only products and techniques that are beneficial to the health of organisms above and in the soil. Stop using all synthetic fertilizers, toxic pesticides, and other toxic chemicals that harm living organisms. Avoid all high nitrogen synthetic fertilizers, especially nitrogen-only products. Toxic weed and feed products are the worst of all. Next, build soil health with aeration and natural organic fertilizers and amendments. And third, use native plants and well-adapted introductions. Finally, water only as needed. The organic program will reduce the watering requirements by about 50%. MoTurf is needed and mulch clippings into the lawn to return nutrients and organic matter to the soil. The natural way is fun, will save you money, and always works better in every way. After all, Mother Nature knows best. For more information about natural organic gardening, visit DirtDoctor.com.
Black Cow, the mature manure black cow.
Black Cow composted cow manure is the perfect soil conditioner for our Texas soils. Black Cow enriches the soil with organic matter and helps retain moisture. Now is the perfect time to prepare fall flower beds and fall vegetable gardens. Getting the soil ready is your first step. Black Cow is fully composted, easy to use, and there's no bad odor. Fall is also a great time to set out new shrubs and trees. It's cooler and less stressful on new plants. Mix Black Cow with your native soil right in the planting hole. It's a natural fertilizer that releases nutrients slowly, the way Mother Nature intended. Look for Black Cow in the bright yellow and black bag at your favorite garden center or home improvement warehouse. For more information, check the website, Black Cow, spelled with a K.com.
Black Cow, the mature manure, Black Cow.
Covering the bare soil around plants is crucial, and there are several mulch choices. The best mulch for any site is shredded recycled plant material such as limbs, leaves, twigs, dead plants, bark, spent flowers, and other plant debris that grew on the property. That's the natural way. How it is done in the forest and on the prairie. Second best would be purchased shredded native tree trimmings. Third in line is shredded hardwood bark. Pine bark and cypress are not good choices. Pine bark is just bad in general. It won't stay in place and contains chemicals that hurt plant growth. Cypress doesn't break down well. Mulch should decompose to create the true natural food to feed microbes and plant roots. Pine needles are good, but look out of place if there are no pine trees on the property. Lava gravel makes good mulch and has the extra benefit of keeping squirrels and cats out, but lava gravel has its negative points. It looks harsher than organic mulches, and it doesn't break down into humus. The best commercial mulch is a mixture of compost and shredded tree trimmings. For more information on mulch, go to DirtDoctor.com.
All righty, Howard, back with you. And I just did a quick search to see what kind of images were on the internet on Jicama. There's not very good pictures of the plant. It's interesting. It's mostly pictures of the tuber. I've got some good ones. I don't have it on the website. I looked at our website, and the information is there for you in the website. And by the way, as Mary Rose and I were talking about, it's spelled J-I-C-A, not H-I. It's Jicama.
And I didn't take English, Howard, if you tell everybody.
It's one that most people wouldn't know how to spell. But anyway, it's on the website under Jicama with J, but no good pictures. I've got great pictures, and I will work on that today. I'm not going to be playing golf or doing much gardening today, so I'll try to dig out my photographs for you and put it up on there on the website. Okay, let's see. Back to the phones. It's time to go to Oaklawn, Illinois, and talk to Fran, WCPT. Hi, Fran.
Semper Fi, young man. Semper Fi
to you, Marine.
Hey, I got two questions. Number one, I put a whole truckload of new shrubs and trees in the ground, and some of them are pines, and I know you keep watering those until the ground freezes, but what about the deciduous trees and shrubs? Should I continue watering those?
Well, that's a great question. It simply depends on the weather. When you have plenty of moisture through the growing season and leading into the fall, the chances of having enough moisture in the soil that will stay there. It's real good. It's real high.
Okay.
And so most of the time I tell people, I always tell people to cut the irrigation systems off of automatic and change it to where it only runs when you walk over there and push the button or, you know, move the sprinklers around and turn on the faucet. You know, it doesn't come on automatically because if moisture's there, it will last when cool weather starts hitting in the fall, which you're way into, of course, there in Illinois. You don't have to water very much. On the other hand, if you've had a drought, if it's been really dry, and you know from probing, and I recommend highly, friend, that you do probe with either a pipe probe or a golf club with a club with the head cut off, probe the soil, and if you know it's dry, watering during the winter is extremely important to prevent desiccation of the plant. So you might need to water, you might not. It just depends on what kind of rainfall you've had and how you irrigated up to the cool weather.
Okay. Okay, question number two.
Mm-hmm.
I have a Nysa sylvatica. It's a tupelo, some sort of a tupelo tree. I don't know the popular names.
Yeah, tupelo's fine.
It was cut off by a previous owner. It was cut off about 12 inches off the ground, and it resprouted. I really want to save this tree. It's just a beautiful bird tree, and it gets incredible fall color.
Oh yeah, they are great fall color. Why did they cut it down? Do you have any idea?
I don't know, but anyway, it resprouted. What are the chances of me culturing one of those, just one of those, into a leader and eliminating, you know, the others and having the thing survive?
It's exactly what I'd recommend. What you do is look at it, just determine visually which one looks the strongest, has the best caliper, in other words, the widest at the base, and which one appears to be the tallest, the most aggressive. And if they're all the same, just, you know, pick one that looks good and cut all the others away and keep them cut off in the spring, next spring, when they try to grow again, so that all the energy goes into that one that you've chosen. And it will surprise you how quickly it'll grow back. It will try its darndest to grow back to replace what's been cut away. That's what those shoots try to do.
It looks like brain surgery to me, trying to find the spot where you cut off and still leave a good callus. I don't even see a callus on these.
Well, you're talking about worrying about pruning the ones you're taking away, where are you going to make the cut? Don't worry about that. Cut down just as close as you can to the stump, just as close as you possibly can. In this case, you won't do any damage at all, because what we were wanting to do is for that to all kind of start to decay, and then the new one you've left is going to develop and spread, and its caliper will grow out away from the trunk to a certain degree, but the remainder of that stump and those other shoots, we want them to die and start to rot right there in the ground at the base of the tree we're trying to save. That's exactly what we want to have happen.
All right, I'm going to fake it till I make it, and I'll report back to you.
Okay. Take some pictures and send it to me. If I see anything else, I'll be glad to holler at you.
Okay, thank you.
Appreciate the call. And anybody can do that. It's info@dirtdoctor.com. Take a digital photograph and send it to us there. Regina mentioned sending something to me on Facebook. I'll be honest with you, I'm terrible about looking at anything except that main line of stuff. So I need to get better at that. I tend to spend most of my time looking at the notes and all that come in from the website, Ask Howard. So it's best to do that, and I'll try to be better about going into Facebook and seeing what the questions are there and answering those. We have Twitter, but I have so many things going on, I just haven't had time to deal with that. Maybe at some point we can have some folks helping me do that too, so we're answering questions on all those things. But for right now, the best thing to do is send us a picture and questions to the Ask Howard part of the website. You can also send it to info@dirtdoctor.com. That still works. But the other thing is way it functions now. It'll probably get you an answer a little bit quicker. The members get the answers quickest. We get a ton of questions, as you might expect, and we have to try to answer those in priority, and, of course, the members get the first priority there. Let's see who's next up. Cal in Winnsboro, Texas. Hello, Cal.
Hello, Howard.
What's up?
Can you hear me?
Okay. Yes, sir. Yeah.
Say, I have a lot of volunteer asparagus plants coming up in my garden.
Okay.
And I'm wanting to consolidate them into a existing asparagus bed, or maybe enlarge it a little bit.
All right.
And just wondering if I ought to try to dig those things now while they're still green. They didn't get nipped back by their little frost we had a few days ago.
Mm-hmm.
Or wait until they get nipped back real good and they're more or less dormant.
Do you think they came up from seed?
Yeah.
Okay, your main asparagus produced the red seed, and they've sprouted up.
That's right.
Okay. They're easy to transplant, very easy to transplant, and you could probably do it now. All systems have basically shut down with the cool weather that we've had, but if you want to be absolutely sure, wait till those little seedlings turn yellow, lose their color, move them then, and at that point you'll have 100% success. You'll probably have 99.9% success now if you need
to
do it. Yeah. Go ahead and do it whenever you want to. But for sure, when they're completely dormant, that's the time to move them to the new place, as you probably already know, really well-prepared beds. Asparagus loves compost, loves manure-based products, loves organic fertilizer, loves Garrett juice, all that stuff, and loves nice, thick, healthy mulch on the stand during the winter. And then your production next spring will just be dramatic.
Okay, great. Well, I've got all that stuff. I'll just throw it all in there and see what happens.
You bet. The stuff that a lot of people write and that I used to write about digging the trench and slowly filling the trench back in, that's all malarkey. All you need is a well-prepared bed with all the good stuff that I talk about and plant the asparagus just like you'd plant anything else.
Okay, so plant them about as deep as they were when I dug them?
Yeah, that'd be perfect in this case. You're planting rhizomes, the crowns of these things. So having them down in the ground is fine. And pulling them up, put them back at that height, that level, that's great.
Okay, sounds great, Alter.
Appreciate the call.
You bet. Thanks a lot.
And the number's 866-444-3478. Jonathan in Waxahachie, Texas is next up. Hey, Jonathan.
Hey, how's it going?
Doing well, although I'm kind of soggy.
Yeah, same here. But hey, I was going to call you and see if you heard of a new product. I actually saw it on Shark Tank, I believe, sometime last week. It's called Pit Moss, P-I-T-T-M-O-S-S.
Shark Tank, huh? Correct. I missed it. Tell me about it.
It's an alternative to peat moss.
Okay.
I just want to see if you knew about it. Maybe, you know.
I don't. Did they say what it is?
It's basically shredded newspapers.
Okay.
And I'm not, you know, of course, it's a proprietary blend, so we don't know exactly what else he puts in it. But I was going to give you a call and see what she thought, and maybe you could do some more research on it and see if it's a good product.
I will do more research. In fact, I'll look into it while I'm on the air here. If I can find something, I'll put on while we're still doing the show. I think I did hear that. I don't know if it was an ad or a promo for the show or something. I heard it mentioned, but I didn't hear any of the details. I would be, in general, Jonathan, more positive about a product that's paper-based than peat moss. I can tell you that without even learning anything more about it, because I'm not positive about peat moss. I think it's too expensive. I think it's antimicrobial to a great degree, and I think it's an environmental big question mark. Paper is recycling a trash product, and so it's probably environmentally something good, unless the owners are adding chemical fertilizers and, something to it that we wouldn't like. So in general, it sounds like probably be good. I'll look into it a little bit more, and I'll throw something on there and writing as soon as I can.
Yeah, they actually got a deal, so they got
good
some money. So hopefully, maybe if everything goes good, and we'll will actually see this in nurseries or be able to buy it, commercially. So.
Okay, so Mark Cuban threw a little money at it, huh?
I forget who actually backed him.
Took
on
it
that.
On, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'll certainly look at it, and maybe somebody else out there knows a little bit more about it, but we'll check it out and see what we can find out about it. Appreciate you giving us the heads up.
No problem.
Thank you, Jonathan.
Uh-huh.
And we've got some open lines for you. If you want to jump in here, some people calling, but you can get in here pretty quickly at 1-866-444-DIRT, which is 3478. If you're a new listener to the show and haven't heard me talk about peat moss and you're like, what in the world is wrong with peat moss? We explain it in detail on the website. It is antimicrobial. It's great for storing things, bulbs that you want to plant the next season or potatoes. Great way to store them because it won't let them rot. That's what we don't like. Howard Garrett, be back right after this. I have a great recommendation for container gardening. Smart Pot is superior in several ways. It's a fabric container that releases heat and enhances root structure because it's fabric. You can have a garden in any location. It's easy to carry, lasts for years, provides excellent drainage, and prevents soil compaction and circling roots. For more information or to find a store in your area, go to smartpots.com or call 800-521-8098. That's smartpots.com.
EcoSafe provides natural, organic pest control to take care of pests without using harmful, toxic products. EcoSafe offers complete commercial and residential pest management, flea and tick control, rodent control, and termite inspections and treatment. EcoSafe specializes in the use of Spectra products to eliminate pests naturally. EcoSafe is also offering franchise opportunities to the pest control companies. Call 1-855-825-2849 or go to EcoSafePest.com.
Recovery Nutrition is not only about food, but also about proper hydration. High-quality water is mineral-dense and not processed for the greatest amount of nutrient absorption and a more speedy recovery. Crazy Water naturally contains over 11 minerals and electrolytes. Nothing is added. Crazy Water is so good, it's crazy. Get some today at Whole Foods, Central Market, HEB, Kroger, Brookshire's, Albertsons, and other crazy good stores. Go to drinkcrazywater.com to find a store in your area.
The Texas Organic Research Center is a nonprofit research institute focused on the effectiveness of natural organic gardening, landscape management, and agribusiness. TORC's programs works better, saves money, and helps us to enjoy healthier lives. We need your support. Go to TexasOrganicResearchCenter.org to donate. Stop the broad-scale use of toxic chemical pesticides and fertilizers. Donate at TexasOrganicResearchCenter.org today. That's TexasOrganicResearchCenter.org. Again, TexasOrganicResearchCenter.org.
It is not uncommon for the air inside a home or office to be more toxic than the air outside. This is because of the presence of toxic materials that outgas and the fact that homes and buildings are better sealed and insulated than ever before. Keeping windows open as often as possible allows fresh air in and keeps toxins flowing out. This is especially important when cleaning your home. Skip the store-bought air fresheners and instead try boiling cinnamon, cloves, or any other pleasant herbs. Also, plants may not make your house smell different, but are good for filtering contaminated interior air. Natural organic cleaning products are now on the market and are competing for that spot under your sink. They are non-toxic and they do not put off toxic gases. Visit HowardGarrett.com for more information on how to live a healthier lifestyle and to find great products for your home that work well and don't contaminate the air.
If you're like me, balancing my blood sugar is important to me for my health and wellness, especially as I get older. I pay attention to what I eat and try to exercise daily, but even that might not be enough. So each day I take Kyolic Blood Sugar Balance in conjunction with a healthy diet, regular exercise, and plenty of rest. Kyolic Blood Sugar Balance is my trusted ally for healthy weight management, overall cardiovascular health, and immune function. Kyolic Blood Sugar Balance is a synergistic combination of odorless kyolic aged garlic extract and herbs and nutrients shown to help maintain blood sugar levels. And it's made by our friends at Kyolic, the number one best-selling odorless garlic supplement on the market for over 40 years. So join the Kyolic team. I did.
Kyolic Blood Sugar Balance is available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, GNC, and fine health food stores everywhere.
Without good health, little else matters. Good health affects weight, skin quality, teeth, hearing, eyesight, and enjoyment of life. It also affects your energy, controls your allergy sensitivities, and helps prevent the degenerative diseases like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, and cancer. Here are a few ideas on living a more healthy life. Drink water from glass or stainless steel rather than from plastic bottles. Plastic, especially the soft plastic bottles, outgasses contaminants that accumulate in the body and negatively affect your health. Eat food that is grown or raised naturally and prepared with little or no processing or toxic chemicals. Exercise regularly. Walk or do more vigorous exercise on a regular basis. Work out with a partner or join a yoga, fitness, or martial arts class. Visit howardgarrett.com today for more information and products to help you live a healthier lifestyle.
Trees become infested with insect pests and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and disease pathogens are simply just doing their jobs, trying to take out unfit plants. More plant sickness is environmental. Too much water, maybe not enough water, too much fertilizer, or maybe the wrong kind of fertilizer. Other culprits include toxic chemical pesticides, compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could also be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting single plant species and creating monocultures, as was done with American elms in the Northeast. The Dirt Doctor's Tree Health Plan is simple. Keep trees in stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insect pests and diseases. The sick tree treatment is basically stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic pesticides. Remove excess soil from the root flares, aerate the root zone heavily, apply organic amendments, and spray trees and soil with Garrett juice. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to dirtdoctor.com.
All right, Howard, back with you. Well, I just did a quick little bit of research on this pit moss, and Mark Cuban has put some money in it, a lot, it looks like. I just glanced at a couple of websites real fast there. It is made from paper. There is not an MSDS sheet for it yet. It doesn't appear. I couldn't get one to pull up that would tell you what the ingredients are. Other than paper, that's the only thing I can find that it says that's in it. But I'll continue to look at it. Maybe we can talk to the people and have them on the show even. I'm totally up for that. Anybody that has any contacts out there. Here, somebody called in. In fact, Curtis from Chicago called in to leave a message. He said that if newspaper has colored ink, it's bad. That's toxic. And that black ink is okay. So let's talk about that for just a minute before we go back to phones. And by the way, there's an open line if you want to jump on here at 866-444-3478. I work for a company that buys paper by the truckload, you know, in bulk. Dallas Morning News. I write a column that appears in there on Thursdays. And we have addressed this issue of the inks and the toxic materials and so forth. And it started some years ago when somebody was saying exactly that you don't want, you want to avoid the color inks and the black ones are the ones that are okay. Well, in looking into it, we found that it was 180 degrees off, that the color inks were soy based, and that the black inks were the petroleum based and had a higher percentage of chance of having heavy metals and stuff in them, just the opposite of what, you know, most other people on the radio and other people say. But that's not the end of the conversation about it. And looking into it and talking to people at the paper, they said because we buy it as a commodity and in tremendous volume, the ink sometimes, the black ink is soy-based, and sometimes the color ink has a petroleum base. It varies. So unless something has changed, and that was probably 5 or 6 years ago where we looked into it, and I actually answered some questions in my column that's, you know, runs every week about it, because I was having some questions. The answer to for everybody is that paper is compostable, should be compostable, and this business, this pit moss, may be a great thing, unless a really high percentage of it is petroleum-based. There's a whole lot of ink in it, a big percentage, and an analysis of the final product would show you that there is an unsafe level of heavy metals in it. I would doubt that that's the case. It's probably fine, but you don't know until you test it and so forth. But to say that we keep the color inks out of it and don't put the black inks in there, that's not necessarily the solution. And it's not necessarily the solution to go the other way. I will say that ground-up paper, in a lot of cases, has been used in earthworm growing operations with tremendous success. And the way to get rid of the toxins that may exist in those kind of things is the rich biological activity that happens in this natural system of compost and earthworms and earthworm castings and earthworm digestion and all that kind of thing. I definitely, without any question, would favor it over peat moss. So I'm on board already to a degree in this. But finding out just a little bit more about it, I think, would be something good. And maybe find out more details can even help them. And we'll look into it. And anybody else that has any information, please let us know. Telephone number is 866-444-3478. David is in Dallas, Texas, listening here on 660 The Answer. Hi, David.
Hi, Dr. Garrett. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
I'd like to comment that your call taker is excellent. Thank you very much for having her on.
Oh, she's going to get the big head in there. David's going to get the big head in there. I appreciate it. Thank you.
I wanted to ask you about Honeycrisp apples and their ability to grow in Texas.
Yes, they can. We can grow a wide range of apples in the soils, the alkaline soils of Texas. That reminds me of something else I was going to talk about the pit moss, the pH. I'll get to that in a little bit. But, yeah, Honeycrisp are one of the ones that we can grow here. I haven't specifically, but I know people who have. But we grow a lot of wide range. We'll grow the Golden Delicious. We'll grow Granny Smith's here. We'll grow the Galas. Braeburn will grow here. There's a whole bunch that will grow in the alkaline soils in our climate around here. But Honeycrisp is definitely one that you could grow. Now, I recommend to everybody who grows apples, and for the most part, any kind of a fruit tree, to plant more than one variety. There's a bunch of advantages, not with the pollination or any of that, although you'd get probably some benefit there too, maybe. But that's not the big thing, because there's plenty of pollen from other things, you know, flying around. But what you get is, if the weather and the rainfall and the environmental issues tilt one way one year and another way another year, one of the varieties might do good this year and one of the other varieties might do better the next year. You see what I mean?
Yes, sir.
Just give yourself better odds.
All right. Is there anything special with bed preparation?
No, I don't recommend any bed preparation. Just dig a big, wide, ugly hole in the native soil. Backfill with the native soil, plant real high. Most people plant too low. I was going to talk about trees and hadn't gotten around to it. I'll start the third hour out with that information, so stay tuned. But backfill with the soil from the hole and then put the amendments on the surface of the soil. I'll talk more about it when we start the next hour, okay?
Thank you, Dr. Garrett.
I appreciate the call very much. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor. The website's dirtdoctor.com, and we'll talk more later.